Mary's song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple, the Issues, Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, the New York Times is the paper of record, so if you believe, or if you believe that, then you read it, and you say, what I find there, especially when things are claimed as fact, when you see quotation marks around someone's words, you ought to be able to depend upon that actually being a real quote, actually being a real statement. And all of this comes to a head with a recent New York Times story about Pope Francis' remark that paradise is open to all of God's creatures. There's no question about that, Pope. Pope Francis did say that. It's what the New York Times went on to say about that quotation, especially with respect to previous popes' statements, that gets a little blurry. We're going to be talking about the New York Times story about Pope Francis and his remark that paradise is open to all of God's creatures. Dawn Eden joins us on this Friday afternoon. She's a former member of the editorial staff of the New York Post and the Daily News. She's author of the book, My Peace I Give You, Healing Sexual Wounds with the Help of the Saints. And she's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Dawn, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks so much for having me.
What is the media's template on Pope Francis, and how is it in evidence in their coverage of his recent statement about paradise being open to all of God's creatures?
Well, Todd, the media's template of Pope Francis is that he's just Mr. Big Tent, Mr. Who Am I to Judge. So the lead of this New York Times story says that Pope Francis has opened the doors to gays and unmarried couples, and now he's opening the doors to heaven to dogs. Now that's quite an interesting lead, because in the lead the writer actually seems to be placing gays and unmarried couples on the level of dogs, which on its own is problematic, to say the least. But it goes with this template that you don't have to on Pope Francis's lights do anything to be right with God. It's just here comes everybody.
Now, this is a quote from the New York Times piece covering not only the Pope's statement, but many people's reaction to it. But here's a summary statement that I want your take on this. It reads, Pope John Paul II appeared to reverse Pius in 1990 when he proclaimed that animals do have souls and are as near to God as are men. But the Vatican did not widely publicize this assertion. Perhaps it was because it so directly contradicted Pius, who was the first to declare the doctrine of papal infallibility in 1854. What's wrong with that statement there?
Well, what he's claiming is that Pius IX, under whom the dogma of papal infallibility was defined, that Pius IX, he's saying, said that animals can't go to heaven, and that John Paul reversed this in 1990 when John Paul said, as you just quoted, that animals are as close to God as we are. The problem is that John Paul never said that. It's a made-up quote. And more than that, what the reporter says, he goes on to say that perhaps, you know, the reason why this quote wasn't widely publicized was because it went against Pius IX. So basically, the reporter uses a made-up quote and then argues for a conspiracy theory as to why this quote wasn't publicized. I mean, it's like the New York Times turning into a 9/11 truther or something. In my latest post for Get Religion, I show that, in fact, the supposed quote from John Paul is based on a recollection that was published by a priest of something that he thought he heard John Paul say. And I show how if you go back to John Paul's actual words, he didn't say it. So this is basically an urban legend that the Times is repeating, and then the Times is claiming that you know, perhaps there's some reason why the Vatican didn't tell us John Paul said this.
Are they trying to rope John Paul II into their template of Francis, Francis the Great, reverser of things in the Roman Catholic Church?
I would say that, and I would also say that with regard to the whole Big Tent thing, you know, there's no questioning that Francis is trying to invite people into the heart of the church. He's trying to invite people of all kinds to feel welcome. But the thing is that Francis talks about repentance a lot, and that's what the media doesn't get. When Francis was lighting the largest Christmas tree in the world last week, Francis took the opportunity to say, go to confession during Advent, that this is a good thing to do during Advent. When Francis made his famous Who Am I to Judge comment, he said, if a gay person is seeking the Lord, who am I to judge? Meaning, like, if a person is trying to live right and has this same-sex attraction and is trying to get right with God through living chastely. But the media never reports the part on penitence.
Are they also failing to kind of take into account, I mean, since Pope Francis is more accessible than previous popes to the media, he appears to be comfortable in that role, having kind of a higher level of accessibility. Are they failing to take into account the distinction between what he might say offhandedly into the press's microphones and what he says, or more importantly, what he writes on behalf of the church?
Well, that's a great point, and you even see that in the New York Times comment that perhaps, you know, John Paul wasn't, you know, his statement wasn't publicized because it would counter Pius IX, who defined papal infallibility. Basically, what you see there is a real confusion in the press, which is what you're identifying, between what papal statements are infallible and which ones aren't. If the Pope says, I think it's going to rain tomorrow, that's not an infallible statement. There are really just a limited number of types of pronouncements that the Pope can make that are considered infallible. And postulating whether or not there might be animals in heaven doesn't qualify on its own as a statement made to a boy in St. Peter's Square. That doesn't qualify as an infallible statement.
Well, I mean, for me, I approach it as a Lutheran minister, and there are times when I will make such a statement. I don't have any thus saith the Lord. I certainly don't try to back it up with papal authority, but I will state it as opinion. This is what I think. I don't have any, you know, scripture for or against. So they're failing to see that that's the kind of pastoral statement that Francis is attempting to make here.
Yes, that's right. You know, during Benedict's pontificate, Benedict published books, Jesus of Nazareth, Volume 1 and Volume 2. And when he published these books, you know, if you look at the name on the book, it actually says on the author page, Joseph Ratzinger. Those books were not published as Benedict XVI, even though Benedict wrote them during his pontificate, because he was writing them as a private theologian. Now, the fact that he was pope, you know, certainly gives his statements a certain weight. But when he's saying these things privately, they're not to be taken the same way as if he's officially defining them as dogma.
So, finally, Dawn, how much fact checking did it take for you to uncover the fact that that paragraph in the Times is based upon an urban legend, and therefore the speculation in that paragraph about the non-public publication of the Pope's alleged statement is just speculation? How long did that take you to run that one down?
less than 5 minutes, I just took the quotation from John Paul, put it into Google, and went down the list trying to find where was it associated with a date. And I found within less than 5 minutes an article by someone who had done the legwork to show that the Pope had not, in fact, said that.
Finally, how long do you think this template on Francis persists in the media? How long can they keep it up?
That's a very good question. I think that after the ordinary synod on the family meets, which is the second part of the synod that began this year, once that ordinary synod meets in October of next year, if the synod comes out saying that, for example, the divorced and civilly remarried cannot be readmitted to communion unless their first marriage has been declared null, and if Francis puts his stamp on the synod's finding, then I think certainly by then you'll see the media turn.
Dawn Eden is a former member of the editorial staff of the New York Post and the Daily News. She's author of the book, My Peace I Give You, Healing Sexual Wounds with the Help of the Saints, and she's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Dawn, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
We'll be right back on this Friday afternoon, December the 12th. Pastor Hans Feeney will join us to talk about something he's written for The Federalist about Bill Nye and mediocre Christmas music. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin; Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin; Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois; Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland; Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming; Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington; Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois; Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas; St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska; Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri; Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois; Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin; Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois; Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois; and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Maybe getting a faithful pastor seems as exciting as a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club, but that kind of thinking can lead to the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the Holy Ministry, the topic of our next ACELC conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net, because faithful pastors really are a gift that keeps on giving. See why at acelc.net.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated in the black for 6 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2014, we're $47,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. as you consider your year-end giving.